I'm with Dr. A.K. Abdul Momin, the Honorable Foreign Minister of Bangladesh in Dhaka. I'm in Delhi, of course, on the occasion of Bangladesh's 50th anniversary of its independence, for which Prime Minister Narendra Modi is in Bangladesh. And on my own behalf, as well as on behalf of the print, Mr. Minister, we'd like to wish you and all your countrymen and women a very, very happy 50th birthday and many, many more to come.
Thank you. We are very excited because we are observing the 50th anniversary of Bangladesh independence. At the same time, we are lucky that we could observe the 100th anniversary of Father of the Nation, Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. This is a historic moment, and we are so pleased and delighted that the Prime Minister of the largest democracy in the world, our neighbor, good friend, you see, the Prime Minister Narendra Modi has joined in celebration. So the whole nation is in euphoric position. And in addition, we are very lucky that this year, in 2021, Bangladesh met all the categories of becoming out of LDC, for graduation of LDC. In addition, we are very happy that Indian government has honored our Father of the Nation, Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman, with the Gandhi Peace Award at a time, by changing the rules of the award. So we are very, very pleased, and we look forward to better days in future. Currently, we are observing, having a wonderful time with India, the country that helped us in liberating our country. We have shared the same principles, values, and of course, we fought together. Right. The Indian soldiers, shed their blood, and we are indebted and thankful to them, and we are so glad the Prime Minister of India is here today to celebrate our 50th anniversary.
Well, absolutely. The Prime Minister is representing all of us, and you are truly an incredible nation, at least in the history of, in large parts of the world. I don't think another country like Bangladesh has become independent in the way you did 50 years ago. But tell me, Dr. Momin, what is the lesson of 1971 for Bangladesh today and indeed for all of us across South Asia?
When people's voices are being ignored or denied, you see, it appears that it never sustained. That's in 1971, Bangladesh, you got the majority votes. Mm-hmm. Out of 169 parliamentary seats, Awami League, my party, won 167. And whole of Pakistan, you see, Awami League got the majority. But they were denied to, they perform the discharge their responsibility. And we have another lesson. Even in 1952, in Pakistan, 56% population were the native speaking Bengali. But unfortunately, the then Pakistani government declared Urdu, which was the language of the only 3% people of Pakistan. That would be the state language of Pakistan. We didn't want, we are very generous, we only want Bangla to be one of the state languages. But even then, people's voice was denied, wishes were denied, aspirations were denied. Same happened in 1971. People's voice, people's judgment was denied. And therefore, you see, it is people who started under the leadership of our great leader, Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. We started the campaign. And at the time, Pakistan started genocide on the first night. 45,000 people were killed. Unarmed people were killed. Then we had to, out of fear and to make safe, for our own safety, we had to go to India. And India was very generous. It's not only the government.
Were
even
you
the
in
people.
India? Were you in
I
India?
Was in India. I was in India. And even the common people were very supportive of us. We can never forget those days. And we are thankful. We had a good neighbor and we had a good friend. And we maintained the friendship, particularly more so when Sheikh Hasina got the power. Since then, the relationship between India and Bangladesh, as Prime Minister Narendra Modi said, Sonali Adhyay. And I truly believe in it.
So where were you in India, Dr. Momin?
I was in Jokigoi, Dauki, Shillong, and the Guwahati. On that belt, I was up there.
Right. Now, you are
a young man.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, you're a midnight's child. You were born in August of 1947, when the subcontinent was being ripped apart And Mahatma Gandhi was in Noakhali in your country at the time. But tell me, when your own personal memories of the 1971 and of Operation Searchlight, you were not in Dhaka at the time. What are the stories you have heard?
The first of March, I was at work. I used to work in a place. And first of March, around 1 o'clock in the midday, suddenly we heard the news that the Pakistan has postponed, the General Yahya has postponed the session of the parliament. And immediately all of us left the office and went to the street and started, making a noise. And he said, Butter Mathai Lathi Maro Bangladesh, kick the head of Butto and liberate Bangladesh. That's the slogan we started.
You were in Dhaka at the time.
I was in Dhaka and Podda Meghna Jamuna, Bangladesh, Badinkoro, Bangladesh. So we started this campaign and then we went, I was in Motijil area, it's a commercial area on those days. And then we went to a hotel there, one Purbani hotel, where we thought that the army leader Bangabandhu was there. So we waited and people gathered very quickly out. You see, nobody directed them on their own. And since 1st January, 1st March, till, the rest of the, we never went back to work. I left the work on that day, on the 1st of March, and became, was also always on the street. And on the 7th March, when Bangabandhu gave us the instruction,
That
even if I cannot give you the order, you should go back to your own area, own village, own mahalla, and own district, and organize under the leadership of the Awami League Party, you see. And he said that once we have given blood, we will give more blood and I will liberate the country. That was the message we got.
That was the speech on the 7th of March.
Oh, very powerful speech. We were expecting that he will do the independence, declaration. But the way he said it, in our mind, that was the independence. And we know that we cannot live with Pakistan. Salam, that's it. Then, you see, when the things were not moving very well, I had one of my sisters, she has few little kids. So I went to my own district, which is Sylhet,
yes.
You see, from Dhaka. I went there on 23rd of March. And on 25th March, what happened in Dhaka? We heard it around 26th afternoon or around that time. And on the 4th of April.
So this is Operation Searchlight on the 25th of March.
Yeah. So we heard about all those.
Tell me what you heard.
We heard that, there is a lot of killing. The Pakistan army started killing our police forces and the University of Dhaka. That's my own university. They destroyed it. They killed many faculties and students. That's the initial message we got. And on 4th of April, you see, on the 3rd of April, some EPR, East Pakistan Rifles, when they were asked to disarm in their own camp, they came to our house and took shelter. You see, around Dodon Plus, and they came to our house because our house was a very well located, and our house is a historic house. In our house, my father was very much involved in the independence of India, and he was a political leader. His uncle was the minister in Assam, cabinet minister in Assam, and also in Pakistan. So our house is a historic place. In 1947, when there was, Sylhet, there was a referendum. My father was the convener of it. So it's a good house. So these EPR, they took shelter there. And then they said, don't worry, we are with you. And we will perish the Pakistani soldier. Soon, Pakistani soldier, on the 4th of April, Pakistani soldier, came nearby and they started shooting. And we are inside the house. And with the mortar, they destroyed our house. And but luckily, we survived. And then, of course, we moved. Then finally, we took shelter. Then I was arrested. I was detained by the Pakistan army. They tortured me. And then when I came back, my family said, don't stay here, better leave. That's how I went to India.
I'm saying that that the massacre that the Pakistani army unleashed during Operation Searchlight and subsequently, this must go down as one of the blackest days in Bangladeshi history and independence.
We call it Gonohotta Dibosh, blackest day, not only in Bangladesh, in the history of the world. You see, during the Nazi Germany, around 6 million people killed. But in our platform, over the years of 9 months, 10 days, around 3 million people died. So this is the second largest genocide in the world. And where to rejoice our independence, we think of the 3 million killed. 10 million took shelter in India. 30 million are uprooted back home. They move from their own homes to some other place just to have a safety. And 200,000 of our sisters and mothers, they were violated. They are dishonored. Yeah. So we achieved our independence. And of course, with the help of support of India, we could achieve our independence. And the other one was, of course, the USSR. They also stood by us, along with India. India did not only help us in our independence, they also did another great job. Indira Gandhi personally took initiative for safe and healthy return, safe return of Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujib back to Bangladesh. And she visited so many capitals, so that Sheikh Mujib is not being hanged. And instead, he could come back to Bangladesh in safety and security. And she did. And of course, Edward Heath of England, he also joined in that claim. And we are thankful to India. And the good news is we maintain a good relation. Never forget those things. Friend in need is friend indeed.
So tell me, Dr. Momin, do you think 50 years later, South Asia, how do you look at South Asia today? And also the question, do you think Pakistan has come to terms with the fact that the country was broken up in 1971 and a new country was created?
You see, the Pakistan would be smart if they, express their, sadness, if they, apology to the people of Bangladesh, that the then government made a mistake, and if they express that they have, they have done a mistake and come forward, it would be good for them.
They haven't done it so far.
Yesterday, Prime Minister of Pakistan has sent a message for the Jubilee, Golden Jubilee. But I was expecting that he will also say that what has happened in the past and we feel bad about it. Unfortunately, that was missing. Anyway, but hope one day Pakistan will realize it, that they have done a gross mistake and a crime. And they agreed to, punish those war criminals. Unfortunately, they did nothing. Anyway, the question is, we don't want to look back.
Because Are you angry about that?
Always wanted to have peace and stability. If you remember, as early as 1974, when till the freedom fighters are suffering, many of them are in hospital, trying to get out of their homes, even on those days, for the well-being of the people that Pakistani people that were at the time staying in Bangladesh, and the Bangladeshis who were stranded in Pakistan. For their well-being, Bangabandhu went to Lahore on one condition, that they will recognize Bangladesh, because he was a peace lover. He wanted to have a secure and peaceful, the whole of the subcontinent. Right. Pakistan faltered anyway. But we are looking forward to the future. Currently, we have very good relation with neighbor. Bangladesh and India has set up an example in the world that the neighboring country could resolve their all difficult issues like land boundary, like maritime boundary, like, the water sharing, all through dialogue and discussion. Without shooting a single bullet, we could achieve those goals. It is good for India. It is good for Bangladesh. And we are looking forward. Our Prime Minister has a vision. She believes that if Bangladesh, we have to enter South Asia, has to develop. And this can be done, through cooperation, partnership, through connectivity. And she has been giving a lot of focus on connectivity. We develop a good connectivity with India, and we're looking forward better days next 50 years.
So a couple of questions, Dr. Momin. I do want to ask you about 1975, August 15th, when Bangabandhu and his family were brutally assassinated in their home in Dhanmondi in Dhaka. Now, this is only 4 years after you fought this magnificent liberation war. So how did Bangladeshis turn upon Bangladeshis only 4 years later?
This is one of the saddest episodes in the history of Bangladesh. Within 3.5 years' time, Bangabandhu was assassinated by a small group of disgruntled army. But there has to be some conspiracy. We didn't know about it. But the whole country was shocked.
Who masterminded the conspiracy?
Pardon?
Who masterminded this conspiracy?
We don't know yet.
Okay.
We have many, many apprehensions, but we don't know yet. Because there has not been any thorough investigation of all the issues. Of these issues.
Mm-hmm. Do you want
but
to?
But anyway, the good news is, pardon?
I said, do you want to talk about your apprehensions? Who do you think masterminded?
No, we don't. There are a lot of discussions about you. See, pinpointing is you have to get the facts. Sure. Without fact is not correct to tell.
So let me ask you, when Bangladesh becomes an independent nation, you call yourselves the People's Republic of Bangladesh. You're not the Islamic Republic of Bangladesh. So why do you do that? You are a majority Muslim country. Why do you not just call yourself the Islamic Republic?
You see, the Bangabandhu, you see, one of his cardinal principle was, you see, secularism. Each person will observe each person's own religious faith, but the government will not encourage any religion over the others, as such. And we are still a secular country. Bangladesh is a land of religious harmony. And here, each religion, each one is allowed. We call it, our prime minister saying, religion is yours, but the program, religious rituals are, common. It's everybody. Dharma jarjar, kintu, dharma jarjar, anushtan shokale. That's the principle he maintained. And Bangabandhu, I think nowadays the world should look toward the principles of Bangabandhu. Nowadays there has been so much of violence, so much of terrorism, so much of war and terror all across the world because of a mindset of intolerance, a disrespect towards others' religion, disrespect towards other ethnicity or color or, you see, these are happening because of ignorance and disrespect and intolerance towards people with different viewpoints, different color, different religion, different ethnicity. If we can create a mindset of tolerance, a mindset of respect for all human beings, irrespective of religion, color, ethnicity, and background, then we can hope to have a world of sustainable peace and stability. And this is what Bangladesh is promoting. We are promoting culture of peace.
But sir, can I ask you that, in your own country, you've had extreme Islamic fundamentalism, you've had terrorism, and I refer you to the Holy Bakery terror incident when young Bangladeshi men and women were killed in a very gruesome manner. What are your concerns regarding this rising form of fundamentalism?
This was once happened a few years ago. It is over. And since then, there has not been any, this sort of terrorism. Okay. Good news is no more. Sheikh Hasina has handled. She has one policy, zero tolerance to terrorism. And thanks to God and thanks to Sheikh Hasina, they're no longer. But the issue that raised, there's still extremism. And there is still spread of venom of hatred. You should look at our next door neighbor, Myanmar. In Myanmar, these people, you see, because over the years, so many years, there has been spread of venom and hatred. As a result, around 1.1 million, these wretched, persecuted people of Myanmar had to take shelter in Bangladesh. Currently, they're staying in Bangladesh.
Yes.
You see, so we have to work all together. This is, we need partnership, have to work together to end this sort of venom of hatred and extremism. Extremism never leads you to any good thing. It is always being disaster. Bangabandhu has to say, always used to say, peace is essential for development and welfare. And I don't know how we can preach this gospel word all across the globe.
But tell me, Dr. Momin, after the assassination of Bangabandhu, for several years, Bangladesh was under a military dictatorship. Do you believe or do you feel that there is a combination of, you know, when you don't have a democracy in a country, it gives rise also to an extreme Islamic fundamentalism? Is there a connection between the two?
I think there is always, when there is no democracy, when there you cannot express your views and opinions freely and with confidence, then it helps or in developing some sort of extremist views, and possibly under the non-democratic government, there was some efforts on the part of those government to Islamize, to give wrong perception. Islam is a religion of peace, but unfortunately, some people abused it, misused it for their own personal gain. And some interesting countries, some important countries, also promoted and helped in those developing those extremism for their own interest and create division in the world.
I'd like to ask you here about the Citizenship Amendment Act that India has passed some time ago. Last year, of course, was given over to the pandemic. But the fact is that there have been a lot of accusations about Bangladeshis coming into India, descriptions calling them infiltrators or termites. What is your reaction to that?
You see, Bangladeshis are not termite. You see, as the Rohingyas are being called as termite by the Myanmar people, but of late they're realizing they have done a mistake. They are not termite. You see, the perception that lot of
Bangladeshis... How do you react to the fact that...
Perception that lot of Bangladeshis are moving to India is not true, because Bangladesh is doing pretty well. Thanks God, it is doing well both economically in all social indicators. It is a land of opportunity. It is a vibrant economy. When the economy is good, people are not moving out of the country. So that perception is wrong. And secondly, this NRC or whatever CA, these are Indian internal issues. They're domestic issues. Prime Minister Modi, our Prime Minister, has raised it, and Prime Minister Modi repeatedly stated that this is their internal issue. This will not at all affect the relationship between Bangladesh and India. So, and we trust them. And we'd like, secondly, India is a mature democracy. It has a tradition. It has a values and principles. And we believe the Indians, the greater majority of Indians, will not buy something which will, harm them or harm their tradition and values. So we are pretty confident that those things will not affect Bangladesh at all. It is their internal issue.
Yeah. So Prime Minister Hasina did raise this with Prime Minister Modi.
Yeah, he did. And at the time, Prime Minister Modi said that there are so many legal issues for which he has to meet those and many other things. So, and in no way it will affect the Bangladesh relationship with India.
Right. So that was a reassurance, I think, from...
And we believe in him. We trust him. He's our confidante.
Okay. So let me just come to the last couple of questions, Dr. Momin. We're talking about connectivity across South Asia, but nothing is more important than connectivity between India and Bangladesh. Several old railway routes as well as road routes are being reopened. Connections are being made between the northeast of India and your country. Tell me a little bit about that and how this will impact.
We believe in connectivity. We are thankful. The Indian government also has been encouraging us to do good, and they are going along with us. We have developed pretty good connectivity with our roads. We have developed our connectivity railway. The railway, the lines that were disrupted 55 years ago, they are now being operational. In fact, tomorrow, the Prime Minister Modi and Bangladesh Prime Minister together will open up another, railroad. It's Haldiabadi to Chilahati. There's a cargo movement, but no human being. Now there will be, the passengers will go. We have still working on many other lines are coming up. We have developed our air, road, railway, and even river road. And I must tell you, it's a very interesting story. My grandfather, my parents used to go to Calcutta very often, because my father's grandfather used to live in Calcutta. So they used to go all right and left. But on those days, they used to go by steamer, by the river road. And in Sylhet, I'm from Sylhet. where there is a big, you know, mausoleum of Sardar Shah Jalal. He was a saint. And he came from Delhi. And when we were young, we used to ask our, you know, parents and others that there are big, big, you know, pots for cooking things for hundreds and, you know, thousands of people. How they got those pots? And my mother used to say, those came by river from Delhi. So there was a route to Sylhet, even from Delhi. River. Even Ibn Battuta, when he came by river. But those routes no longer exist. Maybe we have to look to it, and we have to open up all the routes for the good of both for India and for Bangladesh. Maybe these are our future, you see. So we are trying, not only in terms of the communication, we also have good connectivity in the energy sector. We have good connectivity because we are buying, and we want to expand it beyond India, to Nepal, Bhutan, and even Myanmar. We have requested, Prime Minister request to India is creating a road from India, Myanmar, to Thailand. And we have requested India so that we could join in that, you know. We are trying connectivity all the way.
So Prime Minister Narendra Modi is also going to the to Priyati Kali Temple in Khulna province. And he's also going to Gopalganj to pay his respects at Bangabandhu's mausoleum. And he will also meet the local Matua community. Do you think that's an interesting thing for the Prime Minister of India to come and meet
in them? This unique year, you see, when we are observing so many 50 years of our diplomatic relationship with India, our independence, 50th year, 100th year, our father of the nation, Indian, you know, the Prime Minister, is moving out of the capital, which is something new, and we welcome it. He will be going to Tungipara, yes, to pay his respects to Bangabandhu. This is something unique. He will be going to two other places you mentioned, and he will do the prayer up there. I thought this is great. Once he goes there, we'll have more tourists who will be visiting them. It will be helping to Bangladesh. So we welcome all his programs.
What about the interaction with the Matua community?
This is good. There is a community, you know, they have not been very much in the limelight. Now they will be coming out in the limelight, which is good for them. We want every community to prosper and have their rightful say in the society.
You know, there is a bit of a controversy here in India about the Matuas because they still have not been given citizenship after they left Bangladesh and came to India. Do you have a comment on that?
No, we don't know about it. That's their issues. It's nothing to do with us.
Okay, last question, Dr. Momin, about South Asia. The SAARC summit has not been held for the last several years because of tensions between India and Pakistan. What would you say?
This is a very sad episode, you see. The Pakistan should look more, you know, upward. They should look forward-looking people. But unfortunately, they've created such a mindset that they cannot, and always they have difficulties. As a result, such a great institution is not performing well. Even during the COVID, if you remember, on the 15th of March, Prime Minister Narendra Modi came up with a beautiful idea. Because this COVID pandemic is a global issue. And the solution of it, eradication of it, lies with the, you know, the partnership and collaboration. So he came up with an excellent idea. We joined in his idea. Bangladesh joined, paid around $500,000 to his fund. You see, unfortunately, Pakistan could take that opportunity, but they were not that much enthusiastic. This is sad, and I think it is time for Pakistan to realize that we have to all live together, you see, and we have to live together and accept there are realities across the nations. And India and Pakistan should be more friendly. And then hopefully the SAARC will be more effective.
Well, you are the mover.
We are ready to help, assist all the countries.
So Prime Minister, so right now Pakistan is in the chair. So all of you, the leaders of South Asia, should go to Pakistan or have perhaps...
If there is a conducive environment, of course we will do.
Do you think Prime Minister Narendra Modi should go to Pakistan for the summit?
This is up to him. He has to decide it. But if there is a conducive environment, naturally there is no reason not to. But these responsible people have to create a conducive environment.
Dr. Abdul Momen, thank you so much for your time. Once again, a very, very happy birthday to your compatriots in Bangladesh, to yourself. And thank you so much for joining
us. And we also thank the people of India, because it is they who helped us during our difficult times. And we are thankful to him. And we are rejoicing our independence. And India should share their rejoice. And they are. And we are happy with it. I express my felicitation to the people of India and the government of India. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you again.